Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
How about that? An afternoon game at Wrigley Field on a Friday. How about that? I just want to take 1 minute here. Many of you have listened to Nightside for, well, almost 15 years. We've almost been on 15 years. And some of you are confused as to, I guess, my feelings towards Donald Trump. And although it's not, you know, critical, I'm sure, to anybody other than me, in the spirit of full disclosure, I would like to just set the record straight. On October 9th, 2016, I, at that time, was doing commentaries both on Saturdays and Sundays, and I called for Donald Trump to get off the ticket in 2016. I've never interviewed Donald Trump, never met him, never talked with him on air, off air. Think there were many of his programs which were very effective as president, but I felt that he was a narcissist, and is still a narcissist. If you remember, there was the Billy Bush tape. And so this occurred, that tape was released in October of 2016. And this is the commentary that I issued on Sunday, October 9th, 2016. I'm going to read it. It'll take a minute. But I just want people to know where I have been on Donald Trump. This is what I wrote and what I broadcast. I'm writing this commentary for Sunday on Friday night. The Sunday was for October 9th, 2016, 2 days ago. I had written a commentary for today on the importance of tonight's scheduled presidential debate. Again, this is 2016. Late Friday, a bombshell tape recording was released in which the Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump, used vulgar and lewd language, bragging about his ability to have his way with women. He cavalierly used language that he described as, quote, locker room banter from more than 10 years ago. By now, most everyone has heard the tape. If Trump hasn't done so already, he should withdraw as the Republican presidential nominee. Common decency, something with which Trump may be unfamiliar, demands no less. If Trump did withdraw, the Republican National Committee could name a replacement. While that replacement... I got to turn this down here. I apologize in the background here, a little noise. If Trump did withdraw, the Republican National Committee could name a replacement. While that replacement might lose this election, after the release of Trump's vulgar and juvenile sexual braggadocio, Trump's campaign is, for all intents and purposes, over anyway. So far, Trump has shown remarkable political resilience with prior comments that many found offensive. I was referring there to the John McCain comment, particularly. But this three-minute tape is a proverbial straw for a campaign that is now morphing into a political disaster for the Republican Party and for the Democratic process. He did not resign. He stood for election and was elected. That forever, I think, colored my view toward him. And I think that his presidency, the 4 years that he was in office, was reflective of that turmoil. So, again, I came across that tonight and I want to share it with you. Now, I'm interested to find out if you believe that the woman who spoke yesterday, the young woman, Cassidy Hutchinson, was in some way misremembering, or was she reporting accurately? Now, the Secret Service is saying that not only will the driver of the vehicle that Trump is alleged to have tried to grab the steering wheel from, but also the lead agent, Robert Engel, will both be willing to testify under oath. Let us see. The January Politico, is it this Politico? Yeah, Politico is reporting the January 6th committee didn't reach out to the Secret Service in the days before it aired explosive testimony about an alleged physical altercation between Donald Trump and his security detail on the day of the riot, according to an agency spokesperson. This was the Secret Service statement today. We were not asked to reappear before the committee in response to yesterday's new information, and we plan on formally responding on the record. We have and will continue to make any member of the Secret Service available. Let's see what they have to say. Now, more importantly, let's see what you have to say. Let me go next to Jim in Raynham. Jim, you are first this hour at Nightside. Appreciate you calling in. Go right ahead, Jim.
How are you tonight, Dan? Interesting topic, interesting program.
I'm going to
give you a different perspective on this that I kind of heard somewhere else.
Okay.
But the gist of it is this. if you, I says, the Secret Service appears to be an insular organization of people who are dedicated to one thing, the security and safety of the President of the United States. They're not going to enter into political debates. They're never going to disparage a president ever. Because if they disparage one of them, no future president will ever trust them. And I'm just saying this, and perhaps this is cynical. They are the classic four men went in the swamp, three came out. That's all you need to know. We protected the president. We didn't see anything of the sort. The president's a great guy. They've been saying that since they got the gig. I'm trying to remember the first president who had Secret Service. But they're not going to enter into the debate to confirm or deny what someone else says. Going to say the president
You might be right. You might be right, Jim. But they
prove what they say. You lie and I swear to it. That's what it's going to come down to.
Jim, let me respond if I could. And that is, the Secret Service today is on the record as saying their members are prepared to testify. Now, I don't know what they are going to testify. I can tell you that one of the ABC reporters, Pierre Thomas, who's been a good reporter at ABC for many years, Tuesday night, reported that the Secret Service was pushing back against this. Peter Alexander, NBC reporter in Washington, also said the Secret Service was pushing back on it. I don't know. I think the Secret Service has an obligation to testify for a couple of reasons. One, this is a very serious allegation that has been made against Donald Trump. If the Secret Service could easily say, we are not going to comment on this because we have this relationship. However, that would almost be a confirmation of it being true in the minds of most people. If it is not true, if somehow, some way, one person told a story and someone else told a story and the third person told the story and the fifth person, and all of a sudden, you know the story, you start with the joke in one corner of the room and you tell the joke, and by the time you get to the other end of the room, the joke's not funny anymore. So if it's conceivable that that Ms. Hutchinson was testifying accurately about what she heard, although she heard it directly from two of the individuals who would have been in a position to know, including the Secret Service agent who supposedly was assaulted by the president. I think the Secret Service then has an obligation to set the record straight. I mean, if someone came forward and said, I was with Jim the other night in Raynham, and he was selling fentanyl on the street corner, and I know Dan Ray saw it because he was standing next to him. And at that point, if I said, look, I was doing my show, I wasn't in Raynham, or if I say, yeah, I was standing next to him, but he wasn't selling fentanyl, I think they're obligated to set the record straight as they perceive it, in my opinion, because if they don't, this story will stand uncontested.
Let me just say this about that. And this may be the ultimate cynical remark of the night, Dan.
That's okay.
I think that the Secret Service has every reason to lie and say nothing happened, this is totally fabrication, and Cassidy has every reason to tell the truth, and if anything, she stands to lose mightily by not towing the party line and falling in line with the narrative that Trump wants. The Secret Service is dedicated to one thing, and that is the Secret Service relationship with the president, maintaining his confidentiality and his trust. And they're going to say nothing happened.
Okay, well, we will see. You know what, Jim? The beauty of this is that either they will talk or they won't talk. Clearly, it seems to me, you are very comfortable with the story standing because you believe without a doubt the integrity of the witness, correct?
I just want to say one last thing, Dan.
Would you answer that question for me?
Yes, to a large extent, but I just want to say this. And this bears saying, this is, I'm tired of people after the fact, after an incident occurred, saying that I have different recollection of it. This is no different than the people coming forward at the last minute with Brett Kavanaugh and Clarence Thomas, that all of a sudden there are these terrible things to say. And I mean that in the sense of the Secret Service. If this happened, why didn't they act on it then?
Wait a second, if you said if this happened, what do you mean when you use the word if this happened? What are you talking about?
I'm saying that if this happened, if Trump behaved in an inappropriate manner, or assaulted an agent, where is the report of this then?
Okay, therefore, does that lead? My question to you is: it sounds to me, on the one hand, like you believe the witness and you don't want her to be contradicted, even if the contradiction is accurate.
Well, how do you know the contradiction is true?
I don't know, but I think what you do, like in any courtroom proceeding, I think what you do in any courtroom proceeding, you put both the witnesses under oath. You see what corroboration they have. If you're telling me, on the one hand, that if this happened, there would have been a report, that the Secret Service would have been obligated to fill out a report that the president did this and the president pushed that that officer, and if there's no report, let the chips fall where they may. Is that a
The point is when has the Secret Service ever reported adversely on any president in any context? Ever.
I can only tell you that there have been plenty of books written by former Secret Service agents about
former.
I know that, but these are agents who still are former Secret Service agents. They were in the employ of the Secret Service, and they have written books that talked about how this president was a wonderful president, how George Herbert Walker Bush was the most kind and the most gracious president, and how that some of the other presidents weren't nearly as kind. Jim, I got to run. I'm still confused as to what you believe, but let's see. The point we have to agree to disagree on, is I believe the Secret Service agents will testify under oath. I hope they do. And you think that we will never hear from them.
I don't think they will.
Well, let's see. And when it happens or doesn't happen, when the Secret Service says, oh, we've changed our mind, we're not going to testify, I will say Jim from Raynham was right on the money. And if they do testify, I would hope that you would have the integrity call me some night and say, Dan,
you've had enough courtroom experience to know that two witnesses observing the same event can have totally different recollections of it. And
two eyewitnesses.
Question of credibility.
To an event can have different recollections. But what we're talking about, we have not heard from the eyewitnesses, although you don't think we're going to hear from them. We've heard from someone who had testimony that probably is hearsay and would not get in a court of law, but is it now in the court of public opinion. Jim, I got to run. We've gone 8 minutes.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much. Bye. Have a great night. We'll be back on Nightside. I promise I'll move everybody a little bit more quickly. I apologize. It's been kind of a crazy night here on Nightside, but guess what? You guys are with me, and I'm having fun. Back right after this.
Now, back to Dan Ray, live from the Window World Nightside Studios on WBZ News Radio.
All right, let's go to Ellie in Roxbury. Hi, Ellie. How are you tonight?
Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ellie. Thanks for calling in. What's your take on all of this?
Thanks for taking my call. You have the greatest show, and you're the greatest talk show host.
Thank you, Ellie. I appreciate that.
Why would this young lady lie? She strikes me as being very credible.
I found her very credible yesterday. I really did. But when the Secret Service says maybe there's another story, I want to hear I want to hear both sides.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because when you look at her body language, first thing, if a person is lying, they cannot look straight at you. They are looking down or looking somewhere else.
I agree with
you. And she was not. Her body language was one that was a strike me as being credible. These secret service, they suddenly say she's lying. That didn't happen. You know?
Well, the problem here's the problem.
You know what, Don? Money can grease palms' hand to say anything, you know.
Well, I will
money
just say this.
Can do anything.
If the Secret Service agents get up and lie under oath, they have a lot to lose.
Of course.
You know, so I want to see this play out. I think we deserve... We deserve the truth, nothing but the truth, and the whole truth.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see the end result.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But what I'm saying why would this young lady lie, knowing that if she's not speaking the truth, she could be found out, and then what would she look like?
Well, all I can say is that sometimes people hear stories, and again, normally in a court of law, and we are in the court of public opinion here, not the court of law, there would be cross-examination of witnesses. These are serious allegations against a former president of the United States who, frankly, may be thinking about running for president again, which I think makes it all the more important that we get to the truth.
Exactly so.
Fair enough.
Exactly so.
We're in agreement.
Exactly so.
Thank you, Ellie. Thank you.
I can't wait.
Me neither. When they have it, I'll come over and we'll watch it together, okay?
Okay.
Thanks,
okay.
Ellie. Talk to you soon.
God bless you.
Right back at you. Thanks, Ellie. Well, let me go to Chloe in Michigan. Chloe, next on Nightside. Thanks for calling in.
Yes. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Chloe.
I didn't get to see the whole thing. I was just kind of in and out of the room. But I agree with you that whoever was in that room that could have overheard it also should be looked at.
Yeah.
But were both of the, I mean, was she listening to a conversation with between two agents, or was it an agent and?
What she said was that the president, you know, was brought back to the White House. He wasn't happy about it, and that she then was also came back to the White House. I assume that everybody, you know, go back to the White House, and there were two people who were in the same room with her. One of them was a member, a deputy assistant to the president, a special deputy assistant to the president. And the other was a Secret Service agent. His last name was Engel. And she was summoned to come into the room. And as I mentioned, the White House security aide, who's considered, I guess, was in charge of the presidential convoy, named Tony Ornato, was in the room. He called her in, and he told her the story that I played, that that the Secret Service agent, Bob, she called him Bobby, but Robert Engel, got into this verbal and eventually physical altercation or with the president while they were both in the car. Now, there were other Secret Service agents. We believe there were two others in the car, a driver and another Secret Service agent who was not Engel. So there are a variety of real live witnesses that they could summon onto the witness stand. Let's have at it.
Right. I think that's the thing to do, is to get anybody that could possibly have been eavesdropping also, or, you know.
Well, she wasn't eavesdropping.
She wasn't eavesdropping.
She was told this story. She claims that she was told this story in the White House after everybody had returned from the rally on the Ellipse.
So it was just her and the deputy, and then the two Secret Service people.
Yeah, Hutchinson said she learned of the situation from Tony Ornato, Trump's deputy chief of staff, and Robert Engel, the special agent in charge for the Secret Service, on January 6th. Several news outlets have since reported Engel and the driver, meaning one of the other Secret Service agents, are ready to testify that neither was assaulted by Trump and that Trump did not try to grab the steering wheel.
Yeah, I would think that they would really be interested in talking to all of them and to see if they, see if we can.
You know, they theoretically could put Secret Service agents, put them to a lie detector test if they didn't believe them.
Well, there you go. That could be a possibility too. Just to clear it up, and I just hate it when they go with a story and, you know, it never gets totally to your satisfaction, you know.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Related. Yeah.
This is important. This is important stuff. I mean, this is not me bumping into you in the local supermarket and telling my wife that, oh, you know who I bumped into today? I bumped into Chloe over by the delicatessen counter. When in fact my memory failed me, and we were actually in the fruits and vegetable area. I mean, who cares? The most important thing was that I bumped into Chloe, not which aisle I bumped into Chloe. The details matter. Sometimes the details don't matter. Details matter here, in my opinion.
Details really matter here.
Yeah,
well, good. Well, I'm glad I got the rest of the story, because I really haven't been watching the news today either. But,
I will always try to tell you it straight. Chloe, I promise you got my word. I will always try to tell it to you straight, okay? And it's conceivable.
I know that. I've listened to you long enough to know that, whether I agree with you or not.
I appreciate that. And that's what's most important to me, is that you'll find me credible, that's all. And when I make a mistake, and I've done that plenty of times, I'll get on the air and tell you I was wrong. I said this the other night, and I was incorrect.
Yep.
All right.
I know you're right there.
All right. Thanks, Chloe. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Good night.
Bye.
All right. Here comes the news. It's 11:32, a little bit late. It's been a little bit of a rough ride, but, you know, we're through the turbulence, like you're on an airplane ride here, and we're on the glide path for a nice, smooth landing at midnight. So stay with us. If you haven't called in, 617-254-1030. 888-929-1030. That line just filled. We'll get you on. Want to know what you think. I had one emailer today who was very upset with me yesterday. And I sent her, I'm looking for her phone call. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to jump in here real quickly into my emails today. And let me see. I'm not going to mention specific names. I won't do that. Her name was Kathy, and she had written me an email in which she kind of took me to task. She said, I've contacted you before. Unfortunately, it is because I disagreed with you. And now again, I'm contacting you again because I disagree with you. Last night, you discussed the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson before the January 6th committee. You praised Hutchinson and saw how credible she was. I just couldn't believe you were so adamant in your view, as she was not even cross-examined. It was a no cross-examination process, like a grand jury. Upon hearing about her testimony, I wondered why they were having her testify and not the agents in the car. It just shocked me you were so quick to validate her. I would think as a lawyer you would have been more suspicious. Now come to find out both agents she testified about are willing to testify under oath that the story she told were not true. She goes on. I sent her an email back, and I said, I hope you'll listen tonight. So I hope she gets a chance to call in. We got one line open. If you're there, Kathy, 617-931-1030, back on Nightside.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
All right, we got full lines. Let's get back to the call. It's going to go to Angel in Lynn. Angel, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Dan? How are you?
I'm good, Angel. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for you. Are you a Republican?
I'm a conservative.
You're a conservative. Okay. Well, that explains a lot of things. And I'm saying this not in an offensive way, but we are playing right to the hands of the Democratic Party with this story. This is a nothing burger. I mean, the media has not played fair to Trump on any way, anytime, since he announced that he was going to run for president in 2015. Never. This story, and I remember, and going back to the email that this lady sent you, she's absolutely right. You know, we doing the bidding of the Democratic Party, talking about this story every
day. Who's we? What do you mean by we? Who's we?
Everybody that keep on talking about the story, me, I'm part of your show. You are the owner of the show. So by us, keep on talking about this story.
So why? Let me ask you this. Let me ask you. Okay. Let me ask a couple of questions. There was an event on January 6th.
Correct.
Okay. I think it was a disgrace what happened there. And I think that the responsibility rests with the people who broke through the barriers. I saw people break windows. I saw people strike police officers. There's no way to defend in any way, shape, or form what happened January 6th. Would you agree with me on that?
I agree with you on that.
Good.
Trump has nothing to do with it.
Well, what we're talking about is the January 6th committee, which is investigating how it all went down.
Do you truly, honestly believe that?
I believe
what the January 6th committee is about, or preventing Donald Trump from running again.
No, what I said
was
that.
You honestly believe that?
No, let me give you my answer. I believe that the January 6th committee truly believes that Donald Trump summoned the crowd on January 6th, and whether the crowd went out of control or whether he wanted them to go out of control, it was a huge mistake. It was a huge mistake to assemble those people and lead them on to believe that somehow the results of the election were going to be changed. I think he misled his supporters, in my opinion.
Oh, I heard, like just like you heard as well, that he summoned the crowd. And I also heard when he said, go and make your voices heard peacefully.
Yes, and I did hear that. And I would say to you tonight that I listened to a couple of the various newscasts, and that phrase was they edit it, and they do not put that in there, okay, which is unfair journalistically, okay? It's unfair.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Should we blame Bernie Sanders for his supporter shooting Steve Scalise?
No.
Should we blame Donald Trump for these people going to the Capitol and attack the Capitol?
I would blame him for assembling that crowd in that context on that day.
But he on the same day told the crowd to go and protest. Not protest. He said, go and make your voices heard.
Right. No, I don't. Yeah, I just think it's a fundamentally... that's what I believe, Angel. You asked me... the only thing I owe you... the most thing I owe you is honesty.
Well, the reason why I'm saying this is because instead of we being talking about... Like all the time that we've been talking about this through your show, we wasting time. This country is going on a Lamborghini, on a downhill, down to the drain. But we're spending time talking about.
You listen, I think, regularly.
Every night.
We have talked this month about a variety of subjects. We talked about the Supreme Court decisions of the last week. We talked about Joe Biden and the gas tax many times. I'm not going to. I have to put the show together every day with my producer on what I think is the most important story. And let me say this: if it turns out that Cassidy Hutchinson has somehow misled this committee, that's a huge story. You would want to talk about that. Angel, I got to run.
I understand. I got to run.
I got full lines.
I got to let you go. Okay.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon. Okay. Talk to you next week. Thanks. Good night. All right. Let me get Bob and Marshfield in here. Bob, you're next on Nightside. Go right ahead. Bob and Marshfield, speak now or forever hold your peace. Go right ahead, Bob.
let me toss in a bit of... wishful thinking.
Okay.
When all this is done, said and done, when we get beyond the he says and she says,
yep,
and who did this, who did that, who didn't do whatever,
yep,
when it's resolved, and when it's definitely resolved and settled, my wish is that it will have a stabilizing effect on the country as a whole. And
I would hope so.
Maybe we can get back to some semblance of what our country has been in the past.
And it would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. And I think that we've got a long way to get there. Sadly.
Well... who can predict how long it's going to take? You know?
Well, let's hope it's sooner than later. But I would like, and as I have said, I would hope that that both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, would find newer and newer candidates, different candidates. I think it's time for Donald Trump to realize he was elected once in a close election, and he lost once in a close election. And I think it's time for Hillary Clinton to finally give up the hope of becoming the first woman president, because she will not become the first woman president. And maybe Joe Biden should step aside, and let's have a couple of different candidates at the head of the ticket, and just change the atmosphere in the room.
Yeah, I see Trump as a severe character disorder, and he doesn't belong in politics.
I think that he served a purpose at a point in time, and if he had handled himself better personally, he could have been reelected. I think he had the Achilles, the Achilles heel, the Greek tragedy. He had talent, but he's a complete narcissist.
Yeah.
And that was a fatal flaw. And I think the Americans saw through that. American people saw through that. I don't think he's electable. I'm not even sure at this point that he can win the Republican nomination. And I don't think that he has time on his side. I don't think that people are going to feel better towards Donald Trump 6 months from now or a year from now than they do today.
I'm in that camp.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Bob. We'll talk soon. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
Good night.
Oh, we're going to wrap it up. I got Patrick, I got Mary, and I got Janice. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Coming right back on Nightside.
Now back to Dan Ray, live from the Window World Nightside Studios on WBZ News Radio.
Okay, we're going to try to get as many folks in as we can, so let me go quickly. Mary in Braintree. Mary, next on Nightside. Go ahead.
I'll be very quick.
Thanks, Mary.
I think to get to the truth, I just have a comment and a question. The comment is, to get to the truth of January 6th, I think President Trump should testify, because he can explain exactly where he was, what he was doing, who he was saying what to.
Yep. Okay.
I think he should testify. The question I have for you, Dan, is how does it work? Like, if something, God forbid, happens to the president, the vice president steps in. But if something happens to the vice president, does it then go to the speaker of the House who's in charge of the country?
The Speaker of the House would become president. In other words, what happened with, if you remember, Richard Nixon, Spiro Agnew was removed. He resigned as president, and Gerry Ford was elected by the House as vice president. Richard Nixon resigned, Gerry Ford, that's how Gerry Ford became. He's the only person in the country who was both vice president and president and never elected to either of those offices.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
So what I was nervous about on January 6th was when Trump put out the email at 2:24 p.m. saying the vice president wasn't going to do what he asked.
Yep.
And people started chanting, hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence. I'm just saying, hypothetically, if at 3 p.m. at the White House, like President Trump, God forbid, had a heart attack. Mike Pence would then be in charge. But what if the people that broke into the Capitol had gotten to Mike Pence and assaulted him?
Hello, President Pelosi. Hello. Again, we're getting into crazy land there. So,
I'm just asking because as I was watching it was happening.
I got it.
And they were after two people. They were hang Mike Pence, and then they were asked Nancy.
Right. Yep.
So, had they been successful in hurting Mike Pence or Nancy Pelosi, who then would have been in charge of the country?
I think then the next person in line of succession is the Senate Majority Leader. But again, I've got five other people who I'd like to accommodate.
But that's what I was thinking of on January 6th. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I can read you the list of succession maybe some night, and I can look that up for you. Okay. But there is a list of succession, including then it goes through cabinet members as well. Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
Good night. All right. Good night. Real quickly, going to go to Kathy in Boston. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, Dan. This is Kathy.
I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Dan, I just want to say her whole testimony was hearsay.
Yes, it was.
But in a congressional hearing, the
hearsay rules don't apply, but go right ahead.
Last night, they don't want to hear. I don't think the agents will testify because I don't think the committee will call them to testify because they don't want to hear any.
Well, even if the agents don't testify, Kathy, there is nothing which would prevent the Secret Service from clearing the air and holding a news conference and say that we've offered to testify in front of the congressional committee under the pains and penalties of perjury. They have not invited us, and they have told us they have no intention of inviting us, but this is what we would have said if they had called us.
Well, geez, Dan, I hope that does happen. But forgive me for not having faith in anything that the media reports or anything that the J6 committee reports, because for years we've been listening to Russia collusion.
No, but you can have faith in whatever you want. I just wanted you to know that we were going to discuss this tonight, and my view of the testimony from yesterday from Cassidy Hutchison is we need to bore down here and basically clear up these inconsistencies.
Totally. I don't think we should have ran with how credible she was, though. And that's another thing. Everybody ran. It was sensational. It was stunning.
Yes, it was. It was very sensational.
Today, nothing,
it was very sensational.
Nothing anywhere.
But here's the deal.
That it wasn't
but Kathy,
on the front page of the Herald.
Here's the deal, Kathy, okay? The Red Sox play the Yankees, and at the end of six innings, the Yankees are winning 10-1. And the Red Sox come back and win the game 11-10. Were the broadcasters wrong when they reported at the end of the sixth inning the Yankees were winning 10-1? No. This is an ongoing story.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is the media doesn't report the truth. Like
some portions of the media choose to emphasize. Kathy, again,
nothing.
I wish you called earlier. I got two other calls I want to get to.
I did try to call earlier.
You what?
I did try to call earlier.
Okay, that's
right.
Great. But let's continue this conversation the next time you call. Okay, I just got to accommodate a couple other people as well.
Okay,
fair enough.
Good night.
I actually took you out of line. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to Janice in Melrose. Janice, you got to be quick because I want to get you and Patrick in. Go ahead, Janice.
All right, I had a couple of questions yesterday. First of all, did she say he was in the front seat of this vehicle?
No, she never testified as to where he was located in the vehicle.
Isn't there usually plexiglass between the president and drivers? I'm just trying to figure out.
I've never been in the Beast. I don't know. There is plexiglass between cabs, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't know that. Okay?
All right. And the other thing quickly is she said some things about weapons that didn't make any sense, that there were people in the crowd that had guns and knives.
Yes.
Something. How would she know that?
Well, there were police reports that went out over the police radio networks early in the morning that there were individuals who were spotted with weapons.
I don't know why they didn't arrest them if they had weapons, but I do remember that the FBI testified before Congress that there were no firearms found at the Capitol in anyone that they arrested. And so I'm just wondering.
Yeah, well, they may not have been. They may not have had weapons at the fire. I can only say there are tapes. There are easily tapes that you can easily find of Washington, D.C. police officers communicating that they had observed people with weapons. I got to get one more in, Janice.
Okay.
I got to get you to call early on, give you much more time. You know that, okay? Thank you much. Well, let me go to Patrick. Patrick, we got less than a minute. You got the final word. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Dan. Hey, Dan, I hope you're ready for the return, for the modern-day return from Elba, because it's going to happen. However bad people don't want it to happen on the Democrats, the Democrats don't understand. They're bringing us Jerry Springer and Morton Downey Jr. when they can't run an economy, where we have illegal immigration, where 54 people just died the other day, where inflation is running through the roof. My father, who was a Democrat, a prominent Democrat for a little while, he would be turning over in his grave to see what the Democrats have done to their party. They have turned it into Jerry Springer from a party that once brought us, liberated the world. I mean, it's an embarrassment. Keep it up, Democrats, because you lost 1 million voters to the Republicans.
Well, but by the way, Patrick, by the way, there were also about 650,000 Republicans who went to the Democrats. So it's not quite a million when you add up both sides. Patrick, I got to run. Let's always continue our conversation, but I'm flat out of time.
Sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes,
thank
sir.
You very much. We are done for the night. We're back tomorrow night. There will be no glitches tomorrow night. I promise. Okay. At least I hope so. My name is Dan Ray. I want to thank everyone for being patient tonight. I apologize for our technical problems. It happens in the business very rarely. I've done over 500 shows remotely. This was the first first night we had a big problem. We got the best technical people. We'll get it fixed. I want to thank Rob, who did great work tonight. And, of course, as always, Marita, or Lady Marita, as we call her. All dogs, all cats, all pets go to heaven. That's my pal Charlie Ray, is who passed in February, 12 years ago. That's who all your pets are who have passed. They loved you and you loved them. I do believe you'll see them again. Hope to see you again tomorrow night on Nightside, everyone. I'm going to be on Facebook, WBC Nightside with Dan Ray, in a few minutes. I'll be very interesting on Facebook tonight, as I was tonight, and as I will be tomorrow night. Have a great Thursday, everybody. See you tomorrow night at 8:05.